just welcome each of you here, especially those who are visiting with us on this morning. We're thankful for your visit on today. Usually it's a little more populated than today, than this morning. Praise God for each and every person that has come out and ventured out of their homes this morning to come and be with us on this morning. And we know in different places, the weather looked a little differently. If you were down here, a little southern Delaware, it looked nice. The more you went up north, it started getting a little uglier. And so we have people from all around. So we pray for those up north, a little bit more up north. It's not like we southerners, huh? Up north, you know. But we praise God for the ability to be able to come and gather together, no matter how many. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn to Luke chapter 14, verses 27 to 33. Luke chapter 14, verses 27 to 33. We're continuing our sermon series called Purpose is Not Optional. And today we're going to be looking at purpose costs. Luke chapter 14, verse 27 says, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the costs? And otherwise, this man..." Oh, this thing cut me off. Hold up. Luke chapter 14. Start using technology and it want to cut me off. Like, hold on. Don't cut off the word. All right, verse 27. Luke 14, verse 27. I'm going to start at 26. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father, his mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to sit down and build a tower. Would you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or do you suppose a king is about to go to war against another king? Won't he first sit down and consider whether he's able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming up against him with 20,000? And if he's not able, he will send delegation while the other is still a far way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples." Father in heaven, Lord, open our eyes to your word. Help us to see what we need to see. Help us to understand what we need to understand and help us to do what we need to do. Bless, guide, protect, watch over, and keep us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Purpose costs. Jesus started out by saying, "Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." When we look at this text, one of the things that we notice is Jesus isn't talking to a crowd of strangers or people, rather, that didn't know who he was. He wasn't talking to people who hate him, in opposition to him. He's talking to people who are actually interested in what Jesus had to say, people who liked Jesus and wanted to follow Jesus. But Jesus often, even to those within his own circle, gives us some things to challenge us and to make sure that we're following for the right reason. We remember when people were following after him after he had fed the thousands and he had gotten to that point, and he turns to them, realizing that there was some following for different reasons. And he says to them, "Except you eat of my flesh or drink of my blood, you cannot have no part in this." And he oftentimes will use that for communion. I don't believe that's really a communion reference. even though there are parallels in talking about the blood and the body and all that. But Jesus was really saying, unless you eat of this flesh and drink of this blood, not in the literal sense, even of bread and wine, but he's saying, unless you're feeding on me. Remember earlier in John, he was saying, unless you do the will of the Father who sent me, to, you guys are fixated on this carnal things. I'm fixated on spiritual food. I done opened a can of worms I probably shouldn't have opened right now. It really has nothing to do with the sermon. But Jesus comes and said, unless you come and bear your own cross and follow after me, you can't be my disciple. He's showing an example, first of all, that he set down for himself. Unless you want to be like me, unless you want to follow after me, or if you want to follow after me, you also got to do some things that I did. You're also going to have to be challenged in some ways that I was challenged. We're also have to go through some struggles that Jesus had to go through. We've been talking a lot about purpose. In week one, we talked about the fact that purpose is not optional and that purpose comes with being a Christian. You don't have to sign up and ask for purpose. It comes because you're a Christian. It's tied to being a Christian. Purpose is already there. You know, it's kind of like going to a job. You don't have to ask all the details about everything. They've got a job description. It comes with the job. Here are your responsibilities. Here are your duties. Here's why we hired you in the first place. Well, the Lord has some qualifications for us. He has some requirements for us. He has some things that just come with being a Christian. He tells us we are the city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. He tells us that we are to be the light that shines, and that's our purpose, to shine and to love and to give. And we talk about all this, so I'm just kind of highlighting over it right now. Because last week we talked about some of those challenges of living it out daily in our lives. The carnal man wants to go after his purpose. The spiritual man wants to go after God's purpose, and there's a war that's constantly battling within us. Last week, we also talked about the why. You know, purpose gives meaning to our life. It gives meaning to the things that we do. Purpose in everything, it helps you in order to understand the meaning of why you're here and all that. And so today, what we're going to talk about is the cost of purpose. And I love this about Jesus, because Jesus calls his disciples, and he doesn't hide nothing from them. He tells them straight up front. I don't know if you guys ever watch, I know you do. I know you do. Maybe watch the TV commercials. You ever see the ad scene on TV things? And on always, they're, you know, they got the newest gadget, the Logitech 3000. Right, and the Logitech 3000 has some advanced features. It's got a laser that'll beam for 100 yards, and it's got this, that. And afterward, you can get one of these for the low price of $19.99. But wait. Not only will I give you one for $19.99, we're gonna double that, and we're gonna give you. I'm in the wrong profession, ain't I? I know I am, all right? We're going to give you two of them, right? And then they say, we're going to give you two. We're going to give you another one for absolutely free. Just be simple and handle it. Just be simple and handle it. All right. For the low cost of free, just. I want y'all to understand something. There is nothing free. There is nothing. Even if it's free to you, it costs somebody something. There's a cost to everything. The thing I love about Jesus isn't like the scammers on TV and all that, and way at the end when you think I got a great deal and all that, and then at the end when you're giving them the credit card information and they go, oh, didn't you read the fine print? Or didn't you hear that they said it was free, but in that little fine print it said, but with shipping and handling, paid shipping and handling, separate shipping and handling. Jesus says you're not going to get caught off track with Jesus. He's going to tell us up front, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to pick up your cross. I'm telling you right from the door that suffering, that pain comes with the program. Jesus says, whoever does not come and bear his own cross and follow after me cannot be my disciple. See, purpose comes free. But discipleship, there's a cost. And we're going to look at the cost of discipleship. Purpose is already injected. Discipleship is a decision you make. Purpose comes with the territory. Living in purpose is different. You have a purpose. We may not live in our purpose, but it's already given to us. But now what do we do? Living in purpose comes with challenges. First challenge, living in purpose. Purpose costs comfort. It costs comfort. Jesus said once again, whoever does not bear his own cross. You got a cross. There was a cross, and I want you to think about the cross. The cross was something that first of all, Jesus recognized he had to go to and go through. But it was difficult. It was painful. It meant he had to give up something on this side. It meant he had to change the way that he lived because he understood that his mission was to go to the cross. It meant that ultimately he died and left it all there for us. The cross wasn't convenient. It was a surrender. It was a surrender of his own will. Do you remember him in Gethsemane? Do you remember recognizing that he realizes that he had to go to the cross and there were people trying to stop him? Even Peter tried to stop him from getting to the cross, and he said, get behind me, Satan. He understood the influence of Satan in Peter's actions. Jesus had to get to the cross. But even there in Gethsemane, he is with all the weight of the world and the sins of the world on his shoulder, the weight of those that came before and after, all on his shoulders. And he's crying out in agony, this pain. And I just want to assume, I believe it's a cry not much different than a mother's cry, a mother birthing and bringing someone into this world. It hurts and it's painful and all that, but you understand that there's purpose to this pain. And Jesus understood there was purpose to the pain that he was going through and all that, but the pain didn't deter him from his purpose. Hello, somebody. The pain didn't deter, it was the purpose that it helped him to get through and push through the pain. That's what he did. Then he looks at you and me. He says, look, the suffering I had to go through, the struggles, the times they had to talk about me. Hello, you. The hardships, the fact that I had to take a burden for someone else and put it on my shoulders or someone else. Hey, you, do the same. The sacrifice, the giving up of the glory that he had in order to benefit and bless people that couldn't even recognize that were being blessed. Hello, somebody. Jesus is saying, I suffer, I pained and all that, but once again, there was a purpose to it all, and he's letting us know the same thing. You're going to go through some things. You're going to go through some things. Purpose, cost, comfort. Jesus steps out of comfort, out of heaven, into this world that was going to betray him. Into people that would throw hurls of insults at him, that would put a crown of thorns on his head, that would pierce his side, that would play lots for his clothing and all of that, all of it for people who would despise him, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. And Jesus gives all that up in order to serve. Purpose costs comfort, but purpose also cost control. In verse 28, he says, which of you first does not sit down and count the cost? Counting the, but before we even decide, Lord, I know it's hard sometimes to understand everything all up front, but there ought to be a decision to say, not just I want to be baptized, but I want Jesus. I want him to rule my life. I want to, as the song says, to surrender to him. And this is the challenge right here. Purpose, cost, control. I was talking about this last week, that Jesus doesn't want to be our co-pilot. He doesn't want to sit in the passenger seat and just, you know, tell you what to do. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to get in and say, you know what? I'm in control of this. He wants to take the wheel. And we need to give him the wheel. We need to allow him to have that wheel and to take control. And oftentimes in our lives, that's what we're doing. I want Jesus, but Lord, just keep your hand on one wheel while I'm doing this. Right? Just guide me. When I'm going off a little bit, just pull it back. And he does do that for us as well. But he said, I don't just want you when things are going off track. I want you every moment I'm in control. I want you to give up control and let me. I drive a lot. But it'd be so good sometimes when the very few times when Crystal gets in the driver's seat. You know what I mean? It'd be real nice. No, she does a lot. I'm messing with you. But it's nice, isn't it nice sometimes to just you, someone else take the wheel for you for a little bit? Isn't it nice to be chauffeured a little bit? Isn't it nice to, you know, you don't have the regular Uber, you got the Uber X, you know, the premium, and get the nice ride and somebody to just drive you around for a little bit. Losing control isn't always something bad. And it's something we fight so often, especially when it comes to God. Losing control with the Lord. Listen, this just came. Crystal has a Tesla. She has a Tesla, and it's got one of them features that you can do the self-driving. Now, we don't pay for the self-driving feature, and there's a reason we don't pay for the self-driving feature. I can't let this car be in control. It's a nightmare, man. I really want to sometimes, but I can't. My mind goes too many places, and what if one thing goes wrong, and all it takes is one little slip up, and you're on the tracks or somewhere. So I don't know. And there are enough horror stories to make you scared about it, right? But ultimately, what's the problem? When I'm not in control, but I want you to see one added layer. I'm out of control, but I do know that the device that's in control is fallible. And all it takes is one mistake. I can't give my full confidence. This thing is faulty. At some point, it messed up, and maybe it messed up somewhere else, and all that. And maybe the percentages are, but I don't know. I just can't, for some reason, get full control. I do it in an airplane. I don't know why I can't do it in a car, but I do. Y'all know where I'm going, right? Now, some of y'all will do that with the car and the Tesla. Some of you will use the self-driving feature. And I'm not judging you about that. I'm just telling you about me. But what I'm saying is, we all understand that there is a likelihood that something, excuse me, maybe not even a likelihood, there is a possibility, a better word, possibility that something could happen here. But when we give God control, he is not fallible. He's infallible. He's perfect. He's not going to lead us in the wrong direction. We're not going to get lost following his GPS. He is going to always take us where we need to go. And so there's comfort in being able to sit in the seat when you know Jesus is driving and he's got the wheel and he's going to take us to where he needs us to be. Even if we're going through the valley of shadow and death with the Lord, he's not going to leave us. Man, but not God. Purpose, cost, control. You can't want Jesus as your savior and not want him as your CEO. It comes together. He wants to rule He wants to be, that's what it means, to surrender. In repentance, I'm turning away from myself. From myself on the throne. From myself calling the shots. From me and turning to him. Lord, help me. And then, purpose costs competing loyalties. Verse 33. Any one of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. I went a verse earlier and we looked at Jesus talking about hating your father, your mother more than me. Now, I want you to understand what he's, first of all, what he's not saying is hate your father and your mother. People misunderstand this. He's saying any relationship, father, mother, child, husband, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever relationship, God is God. And he's over every single person. And unless you can look at him with the reverence that he rightfully deserves and understand the value of that relationship and all that and prioritize God. Anything else beyond that relationship, see, and here's the beautiful thing about prioritizing God in our relationships. When I prioritize God, God has it built in already to love one another, to love your father and your mother, to reverence your parents, to obey your parents. Hello, it's in the command. So he's not contradicting what he's already always said. He's letting us know he's God. Serve God. Look to God as the one and all. All right. I'm gonna speed up a little bit. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says he died for all so that all who live might no longer live for themselves but for him. God is in control. He has control and he wants us to follow after him and to prioritize him. I want you to turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 for a moment. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 verse 25 says, therefore I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, or about your body, what you'll wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap, or they don't store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I'm going to ask that. Can any one of you here at Green Bank add a single hour to your life by worrying? All right. I think Matthew had it right. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They don't labor or spin. Yet I tell you that even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So don't worry saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them. Your heavenly Father knows you need stuff. Your heavenly Father knows you need clothes. He knows you need food. He knows you need items. Right? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough of its own problems. The Lord is showing us and telling us that we need to prioritize him. Don't prioritize money. Don't prioritize stuff. Don't prioritize the food and clothing and money and all these other things. Let God be your source. Let God be the one who allows it to flow through to you. Sound like another sermon series coming. Okay. But allowing God to use you to be a blessing and the conduit to others of the source of blessing that he's given to you allows him to continue to bless you a little bit more to be a conduit of the services that he's blessing you with. You hear me? Be of service and God will continue to provide so you can continue to be of service. I'll just make that plain like that. All right? But purpose costs competing loyalties. My flesh wants something, and the spirit may want something different. So I need to yield to the spirit, to God's spirit, right? And here he's saying, look, in Matthew, I understand you need stuff. God's not opposed to you having your nice little car. He's not opposed to you having the zip code you live in. But once again, what he wants is priority. Is God the priority? And if God is a priority, that's what he says. He says, instead of seeking after all of those things, and then, you know, oftentimes what we do, I seek my career, I seek my money, I seek my fame, I seek all that, and then God, I give you the leftovers of whatever's left. He said, no, you got the cart before the horse. Seek me first and let me be the source of blessing to bless you with. First of all, he's the source of everyone's blessing in the first place. But let me be specific to you. I see I got to do some teaching on this. Or I'm just going way too long, so I need to shut up and sit down then. Okay, I see what it is. I'm going to look at one more thing. Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. We talked about this last week, about being yoked with Jesus. And as I'm talking about Jesus being our pilot, not our co-pilot, I think it's so important, once again, as I'm conjuring up that image again in your minds, hopefully, of what we talked about last week. Being in the yoke relationship with Jesus. But Jesus is the leader in this yoke relationship. And he's telling us, when you come to me, I'm not going to unburden and make your load non-existent. I'm not going to just wipe away problems or troubles. But I'm in it with you. I'm in the yoke with you. You're going through struggles and trials and all that. I'm going through them with you. We're in this yoke relationship together. Matter of fact, Jesus led. He did it first and now calls us to do the same, to sacrifice, to love, to serve. For how long? Till the end. Till they kill you. That gives a little different sting, doesn't it? But until our life is done, our purpose is done, we continue in our purpose to the very, very end because that's what Jesus did. And you're not alone. He's with you. He's in that yoke with you. And he says, if you want to come and get some rest from all that's out here in this world, from what you're going through out in the world, as well as the struggle of being a Christian, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus this morning. Maybe you're outside of Jesus and you recognize you need to come to Jesus. Maybe you're already in Christ and all that, and you understand that you need to be better and grow and come to Jesus. Don't run to the world. Don't run to self. Run fast to Jesus, and he promises you help, and he promises you that he'll hold you up and help you when things grow weary. He'll promise to give you rest when you're heavy laden and burdened down. Maybe there's someone here today, and you're ready to come to Jesus. You're ready. Jesus told his disciples to go preach the gospel, and you see Peter preaching the gospel in Acts chapter 2, and he gets to this point where people are asking this question about salvation, what they need to do, how they need to fix it, and he tells them straightforward. He says, repent. That's that turning. That's that turning from loyalties. That's putting Jesus in control and saying, look, no longer do I want to be led. I want him to lead me. I'm turning from my ways to his ways. I'm making a turn from sin to now service in our Savior. And he says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you want forgiveness of your sins, you've got to repent and be baptized. Well, why? Baptism is so important. We're buried with him by baptism into his death. That's how we enter into his death, into what Jesus did, his death, burial, resurrection, and baptism. We're replicating that. And so we're dying to sin. We're being buried in the watery grave of baptism. We rise to walk in newness of life. And that's exactly what it's telling us, that we too might walk in newness of life. That in Christ, and as we obey him in baptism, as we've obeyed the gospel of baptism and come up and walk this new life, now all of a sudden, you're a new creature. You're saved. That old man is washed away. And now you need to start beginning to walk in discipleship, what we've been talking about. Growing, discerning, learning to now follow after Jesus and let him in the driver's seat. Maybe there's someone here this morning and you're ready to do just that. Let Jesus in and take control of your will. If you're ready to do that, why don't you come right now as we come and stand and sing the song of invitation. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus just now. Jesus, come to Jesus just now. He will save you, he will save you, he will save you just now. Just now, he will save you, he will save you, just now. Amen, amen. Now, Brother David is going to come and close us out.
Thanks, Domingo, for another fine lesson. Good morning. We'd like to welcome everyone here today. If you are visiting, we'd especially like to welcome you. And after our closing prayer, we will be having our annual congregational meeting and presenting the budget for 2026. So if you would hang around and we will do that after the prayer. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we come to you thanking you for this day and every day and that you have given us. We thank you for blessing us here at Green Bank, and we ask that you will continue to bless us. We ask that you will be with those who are sick. We ask, Father, that your healing hand will be with Juanita Anderson, Tina Jones, Chrissy Parker, George Kirkland, with upcoming surgeries and procedures. We ask that you will comfort the Reed and Johnson families and their loss. We ask that you will guide, guard, and direct us in all that we do. We ask that you will forgive us of our sins. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.